1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye have been called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And now 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, the third verse of 2 Thessalonians 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And now in the Gospel of Luke. Luke 19, verse 12. Luke 19, verse 12. He said, therefore, a certain high-born man went to a distant country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And having called his own 10 bondmen, he gave to them 10 minas and said to them, trade while I am coming. But his citizens hated him and sent an embassy after him, saying, we will not that this man should reign over us. It came to pass on his arrival back again, having received the kingdom, that he desired these bondmen to whom he gave the money to be called to him, in order that he might know what each one had gained by trading. And the first came up, saying, my lord, thy miner has produced 10 miners. And he said to him, well done, thou good bondman, because thou hast been faithful in that which is least, be thou in authority over 10 cities. And the second one came, saying, my lord, thy miner has made 5 miners. He said also to this one, and thou be over 5 cities. And another came, saying, my lord, lo, there is thy miner, which I have kept laid up in a tower. For I feared thee, because thou art a harsh man. Thou takest up what thou hast not laid down. Thou reapest what thou hast not sowed. He says to him, out of thy mouth will I judge thee, wicked bondman. Thou knewest that I am a harsh man, taking up what I have not laid down, reaping what I have not sowed. And why didst thou not give my money to the bank? And I should have received it at my coming with interest. He said to those that stood by, take from him the miner, and give it to him that has the 10 miners. In looking to the Lord in relation to this occasion, I got an impression to speak about faithfulness. It's a commodity that's fast disappearing. This poor world, faithfulness. But Paul tells the Corinthians here, God is faithful. That's where we find it. Although Paul wrote this many, many years ago, it still stands unchanged. God is faithful. Wonderful thing to be able to look away from all the unfaithfulness to the one who abides faithful. You know, one of the greatest ways in which we see God's faithfulness is his faithfulness to his eternal thoughts and purpose. It's wonderful to be able to think of God right back in the past eternity with his desires. His desires to have myriad hearts that would love him and would answer to him in praise throughout a coming eternity. God is love. And that was true, you know, right back before there was mankind for God to love. And that love reached out to objects for it. And not only did God have his plans to bring mankind into existence to be for his pleasure, but he also knew all that was going to come in. And God, being God, made provision for everything. He had every resource, you know. But then, of course, as we're often reminded, it wasn't just his power that brought everything through. God made provision which would involve tremendous cost. But God, being love, he was prepared for that. Indeed, it was the way, I suppose, that his love was made known, by the way that he has secured what he set his heart on. And so God brought man into existence. He made the circumstances in which he put man, and put man into them. And God showed from the very start what he had in mind. God communing with man. You think of God coming down, you know, talking with Adam. God communing with Adam. In the cool of the day, God loving to do that. Just what God had in his mind. You know, God's going to have that eternally. Into that scene, of course, we know Satan came. And the way in which he acted looked as if everything was lost. But God wouldn't be God if it was all lost. God was infinitely faithful to his plans and purposes. God showed immediately, in type, his answer to it all. What he clothed Adam and Eve in, those coats of skin, involving the death of another. What God said to Eve about her seed, and what her seed would be in relation to the overcoming of Satan. God looking on, you know, to the great answer that he had. Man learned good and evil by falling into evil. Because of it, God had to hinder his access to the tree of life for the time. But you know, God's thought, and he never has changed, was that man should have access to the tree of life. So God didn't cut off that access forever. He indicated clearly that man has fallen, could not partake of the tree of life. God held that until the wonderful moment when he could make it available again to man. We've been thinking about it this afternoon, the tree of life and our access to it. God never changed his thought about that, even though Adam was hindered from partaking of it. You think of that long, long period that emerged before God brought in the one that was to meet it all. I suppose God gave man every opportunity to be faithful to him. Man utterly failed in that. Thank God for faithful persons. You think of Hebrews 11 and that wonderful list, cloud of witnesses, faithful men and women, and what God enjoyed with them. What he could open up to them. Think of what he opened up to Abraham. He gave Abraham promises of an earthly inheritance. Very wonderful. But he pointed him to something greater. A city that has foundations. But you know, those persons, if I might say so, they were the exceptions. Exceptions. Man proved his inability to be faithful to a holy God. And God brought in the Lord Jesus, presented him to man, brought him in as a babe, Holy Spirit's action in relation to the conception. Nothing greater has ever happened in the universe than Christ coming in. Blessed man, upholding everything, and yet he comes into his own creation. One of the Trinity, that one who in God's plans and purposes had indicated, you know, his readiness to come in God's time, he came. God sent him. God sent his Son into the world. What faithfulness to man. What a witness of God's love there was in that precious life. We don't know much about the first 30 years of it. What we do know was that he was committed to his Father's business. Faithfulness in that blessed one. And at the end of it, we get God's, the Father's summary of those 30 years. This is my beloved Son, in whom I find my delight. Faithfully, those hidden years had been devoted to the Father's service. He emerged into public service, into man's eye, and there they saw the love of God in all its wonder. Meeting every need, expressing God at every turn. What a testimony man had to the God, you know, that was looking down upon them and longing for them to turn to him. God's delight in everything he saw. Amazing to think of God having it, those stages, you know, to burst out in delight in relation to the Lord Jesus. How perfectly he was being testified to, the blessed God. How faithfully he was being set forth. But the Lord Jesus, a perfect work, at least a perfect life, was not sufficient to bring about what God required. All that lay upon man had to be met. It had to be righteously met if the tree of life was to be made available to man. What a way it was the Lord Jesus went. God delivered him up for us all. He withheld not his son. Divine expenditure, we can't measure it, can we? Those 3 hours when the Lord Jesus hung there upon the cross, hidden from man's eye, only God and Christ, knowing the tremendous transaction that he was undergoing. We can never measure it. None of the ransomed ever know how deep were the waters crossed, or how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost, or before he brought faithfully through every one of God's thoughts. How perfectly Jesus did the work. God entirely satisfied. Every divine claim met. The veil of the temple rent in the midst. God able to come out to mankind. Man able to go into God. The tree of life available to man, to the repenting sinner. The magnitude of God's work in faithfulness. Faithfulness to mankind. And God's faithfulness, you know, throughout the present dispensation. As God raised Christ from among the dead and set him at his own right hand, not only did God provide a Saviour and an answer to man's need, but God in his faithfulness is constantly presenting to man the answer to his need. What a faithful God we have, haven't we? Who more faithful than the blessed God? How worthy he is of an eternity of praise from myriads. Thank God to be among them. What a God we have. A God who's faithful, you know, in every detail. He's a faithful creator, isn't he? How he provided man with everything he needed. Man has never lacked anything from God's side. And when God, you know, had to bring in the flood in judgment to clear the scene, and God smelled that sweet odour, God not only in his faithfulness promised that he wouldn't do it again with the flood. God put the bow in the cloud, and every time we see the rainbow, we're reminded of God's faithfulness. But you know, God gave man more than he'd had before. Man had lived from the fruit of the trees and the fruit of the ground. God now gave him meat to eat. Out of that tremendous judgment, you know, that fell on this earth, God gave increase. Fresh impressions of Christ, if you like, to feed upon. Oh, the faithfulness of God. You know, God loves to do that. Out of failure, God loves to bring increase. And I suppose we've all proved it in a way, that God has blessed us, you know, even when we failed and been recovered. God faithful. Oh, how faithful he is. And then our scripture says that God is faithful who has called us into the fellowship of God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Could anything be greater than that? Fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the faithfulness of God that's done that. God hasn't just taken us up, you know, and blessed us in Christ and left us on our own. He's linked us up with his beloved Son. All of us set us in relation to him. So that we're in a wonderful fellowship. The Lord Jesus Christ is the center of it all. The man that has been such a faithful witness to the blessed God is the one who is the center of everything for us now. Holding our affections in relation to himself and in relation to the blessed God. How great this is. Thank God for all who are in the fellowship of God's Son. We know we can't just walk with all. Thankful for those we can. But this is the greatness of God's thought. And one day it'll be seen, you know. We'll all be together. All surrounding Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a faithful God we have. And he'll be faithful to the end, you know. And he'll see us right through. Right through into his presence. God's thoughts stand. And they stand forever. And we'll be there. We'll be there before God. He says God will be with them. Their God. How wonderful. Our God. And we know God's own personal touch, you know. God will wipe away tears from every eye. How near God will be. Wonderful to think of that. We'll be with God eternally in God's presence. And that's exactly what God wanted. Far greater than man in innocency, you know. God having met every challenge. God having man in righteousness before him. Great fruit of all that the Lord Jesus Christ has done. What a faithful God we have. And then Paul says to the Thessalonians, the Lord is faithful. The Lord is faithful. That's lovely to think of it. A blessed man, you know. Blessed man, faithful. But not just any man. Not an ordinary man. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one who became man. But the man who proved himself absolutely faithful when he was here. You know, it's even one of his names. Faithful and true. The name of Jesus is faithful. You think of God bestowing upon the Lord Jesus that name. And there it is, you know, on his garments. We'll see it. Faithful. Yes. How faithful the Lord Jesus has been. You think of him, as we've already said, as indicating how ready he was to come in the due time, or Scripture says, in the fullness of time, Jesus came. The one who was God. He existed as God. And in those great plans, the Lord was ready in a past eternity to come. And when the time came in faithfulness, he came. Took up manhood. Took up that blessed name of Jesus. That's when he took it up, isn't it? When he became man. And came here to faithfully fulfill the will of God. What a pathway it was. And here, delighting in his relationships with the one he was faithfully serving. What a model for us. A man before his God. But the one who here as a bondman, serving as a bondman, even as we've been saying this afternoon, serving his own, washing their feet, ready to feed us. As he could say to his disciples, I am among you as the one that serves. He says he humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. The Lord Jesus, He measured the distance. In view of removing it eternally. Wonderful to think of that. All that Satan introduced in the way of distance, the Lord Jesus has met and removed. He went into death. What that meant to him, you know. Cut me not off, he could say, in the midst of my days. What life meant to the Lord Jesus. What it cost him. We see a glimpse of it in the garden. What it cost him to face death and what it meant. And sin, to be made sin. The Lord Jesus was cut off in the midst of his days in faithfulness to the great purposes of God. He lay in death. He was buried. The man that sinned has gone forever. Wonderful thing. Not just set aside, but gone forever. No longer in God's view. There's only one man in God's view now. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was faithful to death. How wonderful. And the Lord Jesus was raised by the glory of the Father and set at his own right hand. God testifying to his delight in the blessed man who was faithful to him. And he's still faithful. He's still faithful to the blessed God. He's serving us. Indeed, I suppose you could write that over all that we were saying in the reading. The faithfulness of the Lord Jesus to us in view of our being for God's pleasure. And the Lord is the one who will complete the work. What work is going on, you know, at the present time? Much is already completed. But the Lord is working. He's working in your heart. He's working in mine. Very soon that work will be complete. And the Lord will finish his work. And we'd all be found in God's presence for his eternal pleasure. Great thing to let the Lord have his way with us, you know. Let his work go on. He's doing it for God's glory. When the Lord comes, that work will be complete. If we're taken by the way of death, we love to think of the Lord's work complete in a precious soul. Every soul before God eternally be God's complete work there. Capacitated to serve God forever. How wonderful it'll be. Well, if the Lord Jesus has been faithful, blessed man, the Lord loves to find faithfulness in his people. Yes. If there's been any benefit from what the Lord Jesus has accomplished in us, securing us to his sacrifice, and we've learned the blessed man who is faithful unto death, there's to be surely something of that found in the product of his own workmanship. I suppose we just have to say we all start on the same platform. We've been completely unfaithful. It's good to start there, you know. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone in our own way. But that hasn't deterred God in any sense. God is true. He's true to his purposes. God could take up the greatest of sinners. Paul felt that. He could say that. He was the greatest of sinners. Whom I am chief. The very deep sense of what he'd done. And therefore, he had a very deep sense of the grace of God. faithfulness of God that had met him. That dear woman who poured out her all upon the Lord Jesus, the Lord could say she loved much because she's been forgiven much. Oh, for a deepening sense of what the Lord has met in each one of us, met in me. But you know, God is making something of persons who you might say were hopeless cases. All of us. I often think of Onesimus, you know. Onesimus was a slave who had run away from his master, Philemon. We don't know the details of what happened. But he'd run away in unfaithfulness to his master. But in God's mercy, he came in contact with Paul. And through Paul's service, he was soundly converted. And Paul could speak about Onesimus not as a runaway slave, but as a faithful and beloved brother. What God's work can do, you know. Faithful and beloved brother. Well, God can do that with you and me. Make us into faithful persons where we've been completely unfaithful. One would love to be able to take up the pathway of faithfulness to the Lord. The very first household that Paul came to, you know, in Europe, Lydia, she could say to Paul, after God's work had gone on in her soul, if you judge me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And it says that she constrained us. There was the work of God there that those dear servants of the Lord could embrace and go and identify themselves with. Isn't that precious? What trophies God is securing, and we're all trophies. And so this incident that we've read about in the Gospel, it's a picture of the present time. The highborn man has gone to a distant country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. That's the blessed Lord Jesus. He's gone on high, the distant country, gone to receive a kingdom. And he's received it, you know. And he's going to return. Wonderful thing. To be in the light of that. And to be kept, you know, in the eager anticipation of his return. We've been thinking about that. One has that much in one's heart, that I might be kept watching and waiting eagerly for the Lord. We're not like the children of Israel, you know. Moses had gone up the mountain. They didn't know what had happened to him, they said. And they fell into all kinds of things. Wonderful to keep our eye on Christ, where he is. Blessed man, isn't he worthy of all that he has? The one who suffered, you know, has entered into his glory. And he's going to come back. He'll come back as the king. And he'll reign. And even though there are persons at the present time who've sent this message, we will not have this man to reign over us. It doesn't make any difference. The Lord Jesus is going to reign. But these 10 bondmen, it says, his own 10 bondmen. These were bondmen in whose hearts their Lord was already reigning. Good to have the Lord reigning in our hearts and our affections. And the Lord, you know, can take us on then. His own bondmen. This is the answer to what we were referring to in the reading as to their Lord. Their Lord. Persons that can say our Lord. Our persons where the Lord can say, my bondmen. So the Lord entrusted to these bond men, each a minor. This scripture is not the one about the talents. I can elect myself out of that one by saying, of course, that I have no talent. But you can't elect yourself out of this one. Each one of us has the minor. It's the knowledge of God in supreme grace. Now, those aren't my words, but they're very precious. The knowledge of God in supreme grace. It's what I've met. Supreme grace in God. And you know, we've all met supreme grace in God. So we've all got a minor. We've all got something that we can trade with. It mightn't be very great. And the value of the minor wasn't monetarily very great. But you know, it belonged to the king. And it was entrusted to the bondman. I think we realize that God has entrusted us with something. No matter what it is, we'll take it up. And we'll work for him. It mightn't be that we can do very much. But we can at least shine for the Lord in this dark world. Can we be a testimony, maybe in a small corner, but can we trade with the knowledge of God we have? We found in him a Saviour God. That's something we can talk about, isn't it? We may not have service of any great importance to do, but let's do what we can. And there'll be results. Surely there'll be results, because the minor belongs to the Lord. But you know, the wonderful thing is, he doesn't take it back. He doesn't take it back. So what you and I acquire in a greater knowledge of the blessed God and the blessed man who's with us in our testimony and in our lives here, we never lose it. It stays with us. Unless, of course, we're an unfaithful bondman. There's that warning here too. But I think if we've truly tasted of the love of God and his faithfulness to us, we won't want to be unworthy bondmen. We want to be here just doing what we can for the one who has so blessed us. Oh, God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. Can we be faithful? The Lord says to Smyrna, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." What an incentive to Iran. May the Lord help us to be faithful for his name's sake.